hardship with us.
Let's pray once more. Father, we just thank you so much that you're here. Your presence is here, Father, and we feel it. God, we worship you today in spirit and in truth. Go with us now as we hear your word broken before us and just apply it to our lives, Father, and may we go out from here and live better for you, Father, and just spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Children's Church, you are free to be dismissed now, Children's Church. Thank you, Sandy and Abby. Emma. Abby, I'm sorry. You can smack me later. Rest of us turn in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at the first part of this great chapter. We call it Faith Hall of Fame, Chapter of Faith, as we begin in it. And that's the title of our message today, is Faith. And we'll be learning about that as we, as you think about our world is fast renouncing faith in God. And we're surrounded by an empty secularism. That's what that our world is. And here's the deal. When we factor out God in our life, in our world, in our society, what happens is you have, here, and we come to the conclusion that we're some kind of cosmic accident, okay? Then what will happen is you'll look at disease, you'll look at death, you'll look at disappointment, you'll look at hardships, you'll look at wave after wave of nothingness, and you'll lose hope. You live in that world today. A life without hope, you have people that do all kinds of desperate things when they have no hope. But as for the Christian, we have a reason for hope, and that's Christ. In fact, Peter says that we have a living hope through Christ Jesus. We have a reason, we have a purpose. We're just the opposite of secularism. Every time we step out the door, we have a belief in a God that created it all, in a Christ that came to save all that will put his faith in him. We have a purpose that we go forward to proclaim his name and to go forward in Jesus' name, making light in a dark world and being the salt that he's called us to be. And so it gives us hope and it gives us purpose. It gives us a reason. And so when we look at this part and we're at the where we've been in Hebrews and was leading up, the writer of Hebrews has been challenged, chapter 10. He taught them about this falling away, this vacillating back and forth, what it was and how we've to have this perseverance in the Lord. And then he's going to talk about this faith that we are to have and this example of faith. But what the reason he's getting them prepared is they've got great persecutions coming their way. Nero is on the way. In AD 64, a huge persecution will break out, and so the writer is wanting to encourage them to have the faith that you need, have the faith to get through these things, these coming things that will be. They had already faced persecution, but nothing like that was coming. And so he's challenging them to do that, to live out this. The thing about faith is it brings hope. Great faith brings great hope. Can I get amen this morning? We have hope, and that's what he's trying to give them, what he's trying to teach them. And so before we go any further, let's stand on our feet, take your copy of God's Word, whether electronically or in the pew in front of you as a pew Bible, or you have your own. We open it to the Word of God, and we'll be looking at chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray that you'll teach us, that your word will go forth. God, encourage us. Let us see our faith and where it is. And God, maybe where it's strong or where it's lacking, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all, because we ask it in Jesus' name." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The writer of Hebrews has been arguing that the new covenant is superior to the old, but one thing he's going to show them, especially in this chapter, is that when it comes to the idea of faith, that the two covenants are the same. The new covenant didn't bring this idea of faith and grace, but that it's been the same through the Old Testament, and he's going to use some great examples as we get into verses 4 through 40. Will be great examples of the faith, great men of the faith, great women of the faith, great examples from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant. But he's going to assure them that this faith and this hope and this perseverance has always been here. It's not something new, but it's always been here, and that we can build on that as we go forward. And so he begins this great chapter with a brief definition of this faith. And I want us to look at that this morning, Hebrews 1 through 3, at this idea of faith. And I want us to see first is what? It's nature. It's nature. And look what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen." So we see the nature of that in verse 1. The writer is giving us the definition of faith, but he's not giving us the full theological definition, okay? He's showing us the nature of the basic characteristics of faith. And so one of the characteristics I want us to see of faith is its certainty. It's certainty. You say, what are you talking about? It's certainty. And we'll see that in chapter as we go through the rest of this chapter. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Now, you know how my mind works. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. What's the rest of it? Everything's going my way. Come on, you know Oklahoma, don't you? A feeling. Listen, that's what we think sometimes. It's this, I've got this wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. I don't know about you, but how many mornings of them do you have? Just wondering. Everything's going my way. This is not based upon a feeling. Do you understand that some mornings you'll feel like the world is all laid at your feet, and other mornings you'll feel like you're going down the toilet bowl? Do you ever do that? Anybody say amen? It's not about feelings. It's not an optimism. It's not a positive thinking. It's not this hunch we get. It's not sentimentality. It's a certainty. Faith is. It's a certainty, and it's based on a reality. Not a hope. You ever say, well, I sure hope so. Sure hope so. Sure hope the Tar Heels win. Not at football. Bless God, they can't win one in a barrel. Sure, and not that kind of hope. Not that kind of hope. It's this promise. And it's so sure. I want us to see a couple aspects of this faith. Not only the nature of faith in the future, it's future. What does it say? Caleb put up the first point, which is its nature. Thank you. And then his first point of that is its future. Its future, what does it say? Substance of the things that are hoped for. So it has this future aspects to us. That substance is being sure. It's a guaranteed. It's an assurance. Is the best translation is the idea of this assurance. We have this assurance, a conviction, a solid sureness, a certainty of what we know. It's not here. What do we know and what is that is hoped for? When we say, what is it that we hope for? What is it that we can know? The promises of God. It's based on the promises of God. And guess what? The promises that were given in the Old Testament, the saints were looking forward to them in the future. How were they saved? And we've talked about this. They were looking for the Christ that was to come, the hope of the Christ in the future. That was their faith, and they based it upon it. And you know what it did? It changed their life. You hear me? They had this hope that in the future, this God that had made these promises, they had this hope. And it changed their life, and it changed the way they lived. Do you realize that faith should change the way we live? Can I get an amen? Faith should change us. Why? It's based on this reality. And a lot of our promises are in the future. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, Christ's return. Scripture says that Christ is going to return one day, that if you read it, it says the trumpet's going to sound, the eastern sky's going to part. And Christ will return to this earth, not as the lamb to be slaughtered, but as the warrior riding the white horse. Do you believe that? That's a hope that we have. That's a promise. Okay? Not only, hey, we can talk about the resurrection. You say, well, now, wait a minute, that happened in the past. Yes, Christ resurrected, and we believe that by faith. But the Scripture says, because He resurrected, one day we will resurrect. We have that promise. How about the glorification? You say, what are you talking about? Not only will we be resurrected, but we will be with the Lord forever in His presence. That's it. Lee, we should get excited about that. Why? To be delivered from this body of sin and the sinfulness and the world that you live in perfect harmony with each other, in perfect harmony with God. That's a promise that we have. That's the faith I believe in today. That's the faith I stake my life on that changes my life, that causes me to live a certain way. Well, what way does it cause you to live, Preacher David? By God's Word and His standard, not my feelings. You don't want to go by my feelings, but by His Word, His promises. And that's how we live, that Christ one day will return. And we believe these future hopes, just like in the Old Testament when they looked for the Christ to come, we look for the Christ that's came and coming again. That's the future aspect of faith. But also it's a visual. Look what it says. The evidence of things not seen. Faith becomes the eye in which you see the invisible, the evidence. You say, what are you talking about there? I've never seen Christ. with my natural eyes. Never seen Christ, but I have seen him many times with my eyes of faith. You say, what are you talking about? I see him in his word every day. I see him in your lives. I've seen him change some of you. I've seen men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I've seen them pass from death to life. I've seen Christ work in your life. I've seen Christ work in my own life. I've seen him many times. I've seen him beside the caskets. I've seen him beside the cradles. Every birth, every death, he's there. He's in everything, folks. I've not seen him with my natural eyes, but I've seen him many times with my spiritual eyes. And I've seen him work. Look around. We're here today because of him. And he talks about the evidence of things not seen. Spiritual realities are all around us. Let me tell you what, when a man or a woman prays and gets on their knees to receive Jesus Christ, ask him into their heart, you see them transform from darkness to light. That's the greatest miracle we could ever be a part of or see. And be a part of those things. To see God work. That's the spiritual realities. Listen, this is not a theory. This is not something that we've drummed. This is not the opium of the people, Karl Marx. This is a relationship, not a religion. This is a relationship with the living God. This is not something that I do to get me through, to make it through life. This is something that I am and has become part of my life. This is a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And it's visual. Sometimes, oh my goodness, you ever had those glory moments? Huh? I'll call it the warm gravy. The warm gravy's just pouring all around. We had warm gravy this morning, didn't we? It was good. But it's a warm gravy spiritually. It's just pouring out. It's like you're so close and God is so radiating so greatly. And it's like it becomes so real. And it's like one day it has to be a little bit like heaven. Like we was talking about a minute ago. That where that feeling, that awesomeness of being in God's presence at all time. What a thought to think of, and what a purpose that we have to go forward in a world that's looking for hope. They've put God to the side. And there's a little principle of reaping what you sow. Can anybody say amen? That's the world we live in today. It has future and it has visual aspects. That's its nature. But I want you to see next its testimony. Look at verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. We'll see this chapter, like I said, verses 4 through 40, will be testimony after testimony of the faith that the author is speaking about in these saints of God that lived it out. God, because of their faith and because of nothing else, approved of their life. God makes his approval known by those who trust him. What does it say here? It says they obtain a good testimony. Means they were granted approval or gained approval. God bore witness with them. God's first witness to them, and now he's God's witness to them, and now they're witnessing to us. Do you understand that that's an aspect of your faith as well? That your faith is lived out before others? You have a whole generation coming up behind you. They need to see your faith lived out. They need to see that you're a man or woman of faith. That you truly believe what it is that you say you believe, and you live it out. And you know what it does? It infects and affects every area of our life. It makes a difference. The testimony of by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Well, how did they? God rewarded their faith with what? With his approval. God recorded their faith, wrote it down in his word. God revealed their faith. He shared it with others and with others. We're reading it this morning, and we can see it. This is how he approved. He rewards our faith by his approval. Matthew Henry said this, faith is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul possession of those things. What is he saying? I believe the promises of God. You've heard me say this before. it's such a reality that we are, listen, we grasp the reality of Christ in our life, that we are children of God. We are, eternal life happened at the moment that we received Jesus Christ. We are assured with Him as eternity as we are standing here preaching this sermon. You say, that, hey, that's not being bold. That's not being prideful. That is the reality of faith and the promises of God. And when we live that out, the reality is it changes our day-to-day, that we take possession of those things. You know what it does? That's the purpose that it gives us. That's why we get up every day and we live out and we go through the things. And yes, we face the same things that the world face, but in a different manner. Why? We have hope. We have hope. Faith gives substance to the unseen realities. It was not, listen, these great men and women of faith, it was not their works that produced their faith, but it was the faith that produced the works in their life. James says this. It's easy to say, hey, yeah, I believe, but you know what? If it doesn't change our life, James says, what do you call it? Dead faith. He says, it's no good. He's saying, but if we have this, we live this way by faith and it's produced in our life, that shows us what we believe and what we say that we believe. It will change our lives. If it's not changing our lives, it's not true faith. Can I get amen? Can't help but think of an example. You know the story. We read it to your kids probably when they's little. Three Hebrew boys. What's their name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? What happened? Well, they're at Nebuchadnezzar, took them off to, they're off in Babylon, and he comes up with the idea. He's so great that he's going to make this statue that's going to represent him, and whenever they play music, everybody bows down to the statue. In other words, they were worshiping him, right? Well, these three Hebrew boys knew that they didn't worship anybody but the living God. Does anybody say amen? And so what they decided is they're not going to bow down to anybody but God. Can I hear it? I don't know about anybody but God. Now, if you don't bow down, where are you going to get thrown? Fiery furnace. So you know what? They're testing them out. We're going to give you another chance. Let's play the music. Not bowing down. And you know what they said? They said, listen, we don't know if God will deliver us, and it really don't matter. We ain't going to bow. And so what happened, Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he said he heated that furnace up as hot as even killed the guards that was around it. It was so hot. And what did he do? Tossed them old boys in. It's over. Game over, right? Game over. Nope. He looked in there. How does three become four? Standing in faith. He looked in there and he said, did we not throw three in? There's four in there now, and then one looks like the Son of God. And he has to call for him. He certainly can't get over there close to it. He's got to call for him to come out. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come on out of there. I like that old song. Well, where'd the fourth one go? Still in the fire. He's waiting there for me. They came out, and what did he do? He declared and said, hey, this is God. Ain't nobody can deliver anybody from any furnace like that except to God. And from, he said, from now on, they don't have to bow. Listen, their faith. Tremendous acts of faith that we see. And you say, hey, that's not a fable. That's not a wives' tale. How do I know that? That's the Word of God. The Word of God. So that's what we get. It's nature, and we've seen its testimony. But last, let's look at its understanding, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Here, you know what he's saying? Let me ask you, where's your starting point? Where's your starting point? How come it always goes back to Genesis? You ever notice that? It always goes back to the beginning. Why? Because what you believe at the beginning will pretty well tell me what you believe about the here and now. And he goes back to that. It's your reference points. And why is it even a question? Why does man question it? And up to this point, now he's writing to the Hebrews. It wasn't a question. He's showing them that you had the faith to believe that God created everything. You live in a world today that they teach your kids a theory for the truth because they're not willing to accept the truth that God says in the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. Boom! I don't have to be a Stephen Hawking and come up with a bang that created it all. I don't have to be a Darwin that says we just evolved over this large period of time. I can look and say, God did it. And I believe he did it. Why? Because his word said it, he did. I don't have to be like the Greek philosophers that said matter has always been here because you got to have a starting point. My word says that he created it out of nothing, ex nihilo. He spoke it into existence. He didn't need anything. He's God. Oh, our vast knowledge, and what has it done for us? It's crippled us. Look at your world today. How's it working out, all that vast knowledge? How is it? If we look, why, and here they're never going to solve it, by the way, if they take this out of it. They're never going to solve it. They're grasping at the wind, trying to figure out, where did we come from? Well, some alien deposited this amoeba that becomes life, and we grew out of sludge. It takes more faith to believe the garbage you come up with than the truth. Come on. That we're on this rotation just right at the right distance from the sun and the moon's just right for our tides and everything just fell into place. Yes, it fell into place because God spoke it. God said it, bang, it happened. Okay, I'll go that far. You don't even need that. He spoke it into existence. And so we see this, that why would man do that? Why does man, he tries to satisfy himself. He tries to satisfy his reason and said, how is it? Because why does he do that? If he can take God out of the equation, he doesn't have to answer for sin. Can I get amen? But if he's a creator and he's our creator, then we have to answer to him, and he gave us a standard to live by. Oh, they can't handle that because we want to be our own people, to live by our own standard. God who made men can ever satisfy men. Only the God who has made reason can make life reasonable. Only the God who made the universe can show man any purpose in it. The writer is reminding the Hebrews that they already had this certain faith. They believed that God created it. They believed he created it, and they believed without a doubt. They accepted that truth. The origin of the universe has long been a long-standing problem with philosophers and scientists. Centuries of investigation, speculation, and comparing notes and theories have brought them no closer to a solution. About 100 million stars and 100 million galaxies. You can't explain it except by God. Try as you might. The smartest minds that have ever lived cannot explain it except in theories that have never been proved out. And yet they teach that as the truth. So that means I could just come up with something, right? And if enough people believed it, we can just accept it as the truth. That's the world you live in today. Okay? Why? They want to be able to explain things. If man can't explain it, then it's unexplainable. That's why they can't accept the miracles that we see in the Scripture. Why? It's something outside of the natural world. It's called supernatural. That's the world that God dwells in. Aren't you glad for it? The reason that we're here today is because of it. We understand that God spoke it into existence and he commanded it. It's beyond the realm of scientific investigation, but it is not beyond knowing. It says right here that by faith we understand. So it's not beyond knowing. It's the problem is faith. You can know it in faith if we're willing to be taught by the Word of God. Your choice. You try to accept anything else and see where it gets you. See where it takes you. But by faith, if we believe what the Word tells us, that God created it all, here's the deal. You want evidence if there's a God? He said, just go outside. See the frost this morning? I was watching out the window as we came over early, and I was pointing out to Ellen, the sun, everywhere your house was hitting, it was a real perfect shape of your house, where the sun wasn't hitting the frost. We live in a wonderful, exciting world. Yes, Danny, with some deer in it too, praise God. And some of them's got big horns. You ain't got to get an amen out of somebody. Come on. But, God put here all these wonderful things out here. Is it so that we can just enjoy ourselves? No, that we can enjoy Him and that we can see Him in everything. And that's what He's saying, that God framed the world by the Word, by His Word. And so we can experience Him by going. You want proof? Just go outside and look around. These three verses really explain our world today, or even more relevant, they explain every person in this room. Are you a person of faith? What are you putting your faith in today? Are you putting your faith in humanism, secularism, trying to find purpose and reason in a world that has none, and finding yourself beating your head against the wall again saying, I can't figure it out? And guess what? You never will. Or are you putting your faith in the trust in a God that wrote a book, wrote His Word, explained it all so we wouldn't have to be out here groping around for answers, in a Son that He sent, you see, to die on a cross for you and I? Why? We had to have sacrifice because we're so sinful. You see, we messed it up. He made it perfect. So we had to have a fixer, a Savior. What are you putting your faith in today? If you have faith, your life lives it out, and you'll reach out. You know what you'll do? You'll reach out for those that don't have it. You'll care about those that are out here in this world that are groping around looking for hope. And you'll put out a hand and say, here, let me share what the truth is. And we share the gospel, and we love people. We quit worrying about what people are going to think about us, and we start thinking about what God has commissioned us to do and the commandments that He's given us to love God and love others. Love God through what? By living His Word. To love others by sharing His Word. Loving God and loving others. And so when we have this faith, it will be played out in your life. You'll care about people that are plunging in a place called hell, and you won't just let it go by like it's not your problem. It's nothing to do with me. And when we read the Scriptures, it's everything to do with what He's commissioned us to do. And that is in faith. Go out every day. Go outside these doors in faith. Represent Him. Reach out to a lost world. We'll say applications and we'll be done. Linda, come and play. Put them up there for me, Caleb. I changed them. I can't remember what I changed them to. How is your testimony? I remember I changed the order. How's your testimony? You say, what are you talking about, Brother David? How's your testimony? Out here in this world, do people know that you are a person of faith? Do they know that you believe in this God that created it all? That you believe in His Son that He sent? How's your testimony? Number two, do you have the certainty of heaven? If faith is a certainty, one of its characteristics is certainty. It's not a hope-so, it's a no-so. Not because of what you do, but of what Christ has done. Have you accepted Him in your heart? Have you turned from your sin, asked Him to forgive you, and received Christ into your life? Have you? That's the only certainty you can have of heaven. Number three, if you have that certainty, purpose to share the hope you have in Christ this week. Look for opportunities to share the hope. It's the only thing that's going to make a difference in our world today. Let's stand to our feet. Close your eyes before the Lord. Do business with Him. What's God saying to you? Do you have faith? Do you have a testimony? What's your testimony out in this world? Do you have the certainty of heaven in your life? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Is He your Savior? You know that. Well, I sure hope so. We're not talking about a hope so like that. We're talking about a certainty, a know so. How do I know? Because He's coming to live in my life and He's changed my life. He's made a difference in my life. Will you purpose to tell somebody to share that gospel this week? Will you purpose to look for those people that God puts in your path each week so you can tell them about Jesus? I'm going to let you do business with God, whatever He said to you. Just for a few moments. I'm not going to tarry. Are you lost? Do you know you have Christ? It's just reaching out. He stands there with His arms open wide. It's just turning to Him, asking Him to forgive you, receiving the faith that comes through Jesus Christ. Looky here. I love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, don't forget Brotherhood, Women's Ministry, the kids be practicing. So we're having a great Bible study with the men in the Brotherhood. We're going through Matthew, and so it's a great time of studying God's Word. And then, listen, don't forget your Christmas boxes. A lot of times I won't reannounce that. You know, oh, I meant to get that. Don't miss your opportunity, because the 18th of November we'll be here when? Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, 2 weeks. That's it. Can you believe that's how fast 2018's clicking off very quickly? So don't miss that opportunity to be a part of touching children's lives for the gospel and for Christ around the world. So grab your boxes, go on. So I love you. Any way that I can help you spiritually, if you're at a place you need to talk with me, please let me know. I'll take out the time. Why? Because I care. That's what I care about. I care about your soul. I care about where you are spiritually. All it is just let me know, okay? I love you. Lee closes in prayer.